T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's right. On a Thursday morning, Taz and the Moose with you, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Pete and Mike across the way, Bogish, with your updates. Number to call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
We're going to chat with Jeff Goodman, college basketball or basketball analyst at the stadium. Talk a little college, talk a little bit about the draft as well, look ahead. A lot to get into with Jeff. We'll do that coming your way about 20-plus minutes from now. Let's kick off this third and final hour with the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
LeBron passes MJ for fourth in career scoring.
Yeah, let's hear from the king himself. Here he is after the game. Yet another Laker loss, but passing Michael for fourth place all-time scoring list. Here he is. I'm passing MJ.
I don't know, man. A lot of stuff that I've done in my career. This ranks right up there at the top. We're winning a championship. For a kid from Akron, Ohio that needed inspiration and
now he's humble.
Needed yeah. some type of
when I was little,
positive
I was
young. Influence. MJ was that guy for me. I watched him from afar. Wanted to be like MJ, wanted to shoot fadeaways like MJ, Someone wanted to stick my tongue out on dunks like MJ, wanted to wear my sneakers like MJ. I wanted kids to look up to me at some point like MJ, and it's crazy. To be honest, it's beyond crazy.
Nah, I mean, here he is saying that he didn't handle the emotions well last night.
Obviously, I didn't handle my emotions very well in the beginning. I started 0-for-4 from the free throw line. You know, that ball was flying off my hand, and it was just, I didn't know how it was going to happen. I figured I can go out there and get 13 points at some point.
Did anybody else play in the game? Yeah. No, but anyway, so yeah, he also, besides not handling the ball early in the game, he didn't handle his Twitter account. Early in the game, he tweeted, "Can't even front." This is before the game.
Right.
For those that missed the first hour of our show here, 2 hours. Can't even front. This is going to be unreal. Wow, man. Yeah. This is before the game. Yeah.
No one's denying that it's not a great accomplishment. No one's denying that. No one's denying the very fact of what LeBron James has been able to accomplish as a basketball player. It's fantastic. Everything that he said, being humble after the game, where he came from, even with all the fanfare and the accolades and the expected stardom and superstardom and greatness, to be the fourth leading scorer of all time is a great accomplishment for LeBron James. However, it's almost like a bait and switch here to where it's now become, for LeBron James, about the individual accolades instead of the team success, right? Because when we got into the great debate of LeBron and Michael, what was going to separate the two? The team success. The team success now is not there for LeBron. Now he wants to compare passing Michael as fourth all-time as just as great of an accomplishment as winning a title, which is complete utter nonsense. I mean, complete and utter nonsense.
It's a team game.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a team game.
Ask Karl Malone. I mean, ask Karl Malone, who was as good of a scoring power forward. Ask him if he'll trade 5,000 of those points for an NBA title.
Right.
I mean, he'd do that in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat. Yeah,
in an absolute heartbeat. So, I mean, I don't want to hear about the fact. And no one woke up yesterday morning saying, "Oh, this is the night LeBron's going to pass Michael. I can't wait to watch Nuggets Lakers on a Wednesday night out in Los Angeles. No one cared. I mean, honestly, you don't. You mentioned it to where now it's all about the self-congratulatory right. stuff on social media,
yeah.
which is getting annoying. LeBron is unbelievable. I'd still take Michael over him. Arguably the second greatest player the sport's ever seen. And I will argue, greatest player of all time. I'm not trying to rain on the LeBron James parade. However, you don't need, when you are that great, you don't need to build yourself up. People will do it for you. And there's plenty of people in the media that do it for LeBron on a day-in, day-out basis.
Exactly. You know, you go into the game, your team is 30-34. You guys stink. It's a team game. You're brought there. You paid millions to make the team better. And instead, you hurt the team by basically making all those younger players on that team feel like they were just, you know, subservient to not just you and to the organization and to Magic Johnson, but you just made them feel like horrible. So these kids, they lose their motivation to play. Yeah, they're getting paid money. They should play hard no matter what. But it got into their heads. And I do think that big chunk of that is LeBron. Is it the same age as Anthony Davis? We went over this a billion times, but there's for good reason we went over it. To me, I look at it like that. And listen, I said earlier, look, there are things that, you're right, let the media handle it. I know LeBron James has got to have a plethora of guys in the media, guys and girls in the media, that could get stuff out for him to the public on the down low.
Yeah, Brian Windhorst.
Right. And
made a career off LeBron.
Get it out there for him that he don't have to do it so it doesn't look so self-serving. See, that's the thing. Like, and this is, look, for me, I understand, like, I get it now. Like, I understand it, like, why he's promoting himself. I do understand that. You can't go that far before a game in a team sport, not mention your team. Your team sucks. You were brought there for good reason to a franchise that's been a legacy, great franchise for a lot of years with all these great players coming out of it. You know, you can't do that. I know from a lesser degree, dealing with a little bit now on my social media, some positivity, like I said earlier, that I'm not putting out there that people are saying to me, I could do that. I'm not saying I'm LeBron or it's something like passing Michael. I'm just saying it's still not promoting yourself for an accolade or potential accolade. You don't have to do that, especially before a team game. It just looks bad.
Yeah, listen, don't disagree. LeBron and the Lakers now 6.5 games back of the 8th seed in the Western Conference, 3-9 since LeBron's return, and 3-9 since LeBron came back and said 12 games ago, it's playoff mode. The Lakers have not followed suit.
I did not know that our anchor, the esteemed Andrew Bogish, is such earlier, but like a LeBron supporter. I mean, I respect it. LeBron's great.
How about the fact, and we didn't even touch upon it earlier, just a side note, how about the fact that Rondo...
Oh, he was sitting
during the course of the game last night, sat in stands.
Yes.
And Rondo, after the game, said, I don't know why it's a big deal. I've done it 8 to 10 times
this
year.
That's tremendous.
I mean, think about this.
That's cool for the fans, though, I gotta say.
Well, you see, sitting in the front row, there's nobody around him. Rondo comes over, walks away from the Lakers bench, and goes sits in the stands.
That's good. Funny.
It's like a comedy skit.
What is going on out there?
What's going on in Los Angeles?
Oh, my God.
Magic, get it right. What are you doing out there?
Jenny Buss, fake news.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Fake news, Jenny. All right. I have you.
Number two.
Jenny.
Sources. JJ. Antonio Brown trade expected to happen by Friday.
Genie.
Yes.
Genie.
Antonio Brown. The saga might come to an end by tomorrow. That's what the Steelers have told respective organizations that have called them about him. He's done everything he possibly can. We know that relationship can't be repaired. He wants out. The Steelers want to get rid of him, and they want to get rid of him before he goes and does another social media blast. So, which might come today. Who knows?
You never know.
You never know. You know, who knows what he'll be doing today? Maybe he'll hit the elliptical.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be by the pool. Maybe he'll be going down that giant plastic rubber slide that he had in his backyard the other day.
Maybe he'll be doing that with one of his kids.
Maybe he'll do that. Five kids, right? If you've got guaranteed money, come get me. As he said on the elliptical, right?
You don't need money. He's got a cameo. You don't need money. Everything's paid for, bro.
Right.
It's all paid for.
So we'll see where he ends up. You know, the teams that have called. The Jets called. They're out. The Packers have called. The Raiders have called. The 49ers have called. There's not a great long list of teams that are willing to bring the headache aboard at 30 years of age. But Antonio Brown's going to have a job. We'll see where he ends up. And the Steelers will likely get rectified by tomorrow. So we'll see if that deal is on the table for the Steelers to make by tomorrow.
Yeah, we all feel here on this show that he's going to end up with the Raiders, except for Pete the Body. Pete the Body said Cleveland, right?
Oh, right. I said Raiders, but Cleveland outside shot.
Okay. You said Cleveland. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, you said the Browns, the show. Even though the Steelers said they'll never trade him within the division.
Just do what's best for the show.
Bellotti just doesn't care about information.
Yeah,
That's strong.
I'm joking.
Just making friends with all the people who work on the show. That's what we do here.
Pete,
let me hear Pete LeBron thought.
I have an opinion.
I'm joking.
Don't get into a little hot take.
By the way,
Bisseglia,
I made some kielbasa last night. I'm going to bring some in for you tomorrow.
Yeah.
That gout.
Just bring pork meats.
My right foot's gone.
They'll bring out that gout.
And I'm going to make a bucket of pulled pork for you. Some barbecue sauce and pulled pork. Your leg will just fall off.
Paella is like the worst thing.
Paella.
So we'll see where Antonio Brown does end up. All right, next.
Number 3.
Report. Multiple teams inquired about Cardinals QB Josh Rosen's availability at Combine.
Yeah, we'll see. We discussed it last week. The general manager said Rosen's the quarterback for now. He had some stuff on Instagram and then said he was hacked, where he deleted some stuff, Taz.
Rosen,
and now, Rosen, that is. Kyler Murray made it perfectly clear. He'd like to be an Arizona Cardinal. There seems to be a lot of buzz around the Cardinals selecting him number one overall, to where at this stage, it almost would be a stunner if they don't select him number one overall. We'll see if that does play out. But if it does, and they're that enamored with him, and they're willing to move on from Josh Rosen after 1 year, the GM takes a hit. Number two is they're going to trade Rosen at 20 or 30, 30, 20 to 40 cents on the dollar in terms of value back in return for a quarterback that was believed to be a top three quarterback last year in the NFL draft behind Allen and Sam Darnold, but still a future franchise quarterback. And any team that's looking for that kind of a guy, Redskins, Giants, Miami Dolphins, anybody that does not have that guy should call the Arizona Cardinals about Rosen.
I'm telling you, man, I don't want to sit here and say I'm waving the gigantic Josh Rosen flag, but this kid, you know, we got to give him, I'm not saying you and I, but as a football fan base, we got to give him a chance. He's got talent. He's going to do well somewhere. I don't think it's going to be with the Cardinals. I think that ship has sailed, and he's going to be Dunsky. It just seems like the love fest between Kyler Murray and Kingsbury is going to be full throttle come the draft day. So, it's definitely interesting, you know, because you look at the Cardinals. I mean, you brought it up perfectly. I mean, the GM is the one who should be on the real hot seat.
Yeah.
You know, they fired a head coach after 1 year. Okay, then they have a quarterback that was a top pick, and now there's scuttlebutt that he could be gone. And for them to say, well, he's our quarterback for now, no one's really, like, embracing, like, what is this? This is crazy. This narrative's enough. Josh is our guy. And I felt like Josh Rosen, when he scrubbed off of his Instagram those photos of anything with him with the Arizona Cardinals, and then brought it back and said, no, it was hacked. I don't think it was hacked, his account. I think, and I said it that day, the next day, I think he did that on purpose to send a message that he's just disgruntled and he's not going to take their S. That's what I think he did. Listen, I've worked in a place where I was disgruntled. I've worked in places with disgruntled people. Many of you people out there listening to us, you might be living it right now, unfortunately. So, you know, people send messages a certain way. It's the same thing with these athletes. And I do think that's what Rosen did then. And my point is, I think there's a lot of smoke here and there's going to be fire. And I do think that, I don't know, man. I just don't think Rose is going to be with the Cardinals. I think they're going to take Kyler Murray in that first pick.
Yeah, I want a little bit more time. I'm not going to I think it would be a mistake. I would keep Rosen if I were Arizona. You might be right in terms of that's where Arizona is leading. But ultimately, I think there's a reason why Rosen grades out better. But Kyler Murray certainly fits that Kingsbury offense, and we know how Kingsbury's enamored with him. But they've got so many different needs to address the quarterback position again round. I mean, you want to talk about setting your organization franchise back. Unless Kyler Murray is that kind of transformational talent and significantly better than Josh Rosen. And that's what he's got to be, Taz. He can't be marginally better. They can't be compared. You've got to be significantly better.
No, dude, you're right. And
maybe he will be.
Just to circle back on the Cards, I mean, they need help. They need
they
stink. D-line help. They need wide receiver help, tight end help, O-line help. They need help everywhere. You know, and you would think that you don't need quarterback help because you got a kid in Rosen that was a top guy, that was picked as a top guy last year.
Yep.
So now it's like that is distraction, man. It just, it's. If I'm a Cardinal fan right now, I'm actually a little concerned because there are all of the things that need to be addressed where you could just put this thing to bed. And, you know, if everybody's right about Nick Bosa and he's going to be the number one overall pick and not Kyler Murray and you don't go quarterback and you're the Cards, then you go Nick Bosa. So then you help a good chunk of what you got going on in that D-line and your pass rush.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
We'll see. It's going to be fun to follow over the next couple months until late April when the NFL draft does transpire and get going. We'll come back. We're going to chat with Jeff Goodman, basketball analyst for Stadium. We'll do that next. It's Taz and Moose on a Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
The LeBron debate rages on.
Off air. Yeah,
Bogus
still
dropping hammers.
I got a good one for Taz, too.
No, but I was told not to bring it up.
You got to
stop.
Just repeat that last set. How's that? The sentence you said right before we came on the end. I'm like, about last night. What'd you say about LeBron?
Well, Moose was, we were ending on who was the better player, and I said, that's not my point. My point is he should have been allowed to celebrate last night.
Yeah, and I went,
right.
Yeah, because it's like, yes, afterwards. Okay, or when it happens, fine, but not before the game.
I wanted kids to look up to me at some point like MJ.
I'm going to do it. Tez, I don't know who your mentor or idol was in wrestling.
Yeah, me.
But if you beat that gentleman in a match,
yes,
and you said, man, that meant more to me than winning my first belt, I wouldn't have thought that was a crappy thing for you to say because I would have understood the context of you beating so-and-so. So LeBron saying last night, this means more to me or as the same as a title, didn't bother me either because I understand his connection to Jordan.
I don't have a problem with anything he said afterwards. I just said that, bro. I don't have a problem with that.
I do.
You know? I mean, I'm not going to.
That's a good Moose voice.
You know, but like, it's fine. But I'm just saying, my whole thing I'm steadfast on is beforehand. Like, I just don't think that has to. I'm a team guy. You guys know that here.
Yeah. No,
it's clear.
Crystal, right?
Moose,
when are we coming to your house again?
We're working on it. We're moving.
Plus, he didn't beat Michael mano a mano.
Right. Well, no, he couldn't.
Right,
but he passed. But he passed him on a list, a significant list.
Significantly. You're right. Yeah, I mean, it was just as meaningful as that. Is it just as meaningful as the title where he came back in from 3-1 down against the Warriors, where he said that cemented himself as the greatest player of all time? Would he swap that title out?
I don't think he would.
Why not? He just said last night was just as meaningful
because
as any title.
He's got them both. He doesn't need to swap them out. He doesn't need to make a trade.
He's disconnected from reality.
Wow. Might be hot take.
It's not. There's nobody.
He's been waiting on that one. He's been sitting on that one.
Here's the other thing, right? He puts on his sneakers. Thank you, MJ. Does he have to put a king's crown at the end?
I didn't see the king. I saw the thing. I didn't know it's the king's crown.
Do you have to put a king?
And why does he get one of those machines that make labels?
It's your sneakers. It's your sneakers.
You can't run the risk of that peeling off.
Everyone knows you're the king. Your sneakers. You have to draw with the Sharpie a king's crown?
I'm sorry.
Come on.
This report is sponsored by Glassdoor. Glassdoor. If there were markers in 84, Jordan would have written on his shoes.
He would not have.
Shopping Jordan. Go in there and do it for you.
This report is sponsored by Glassdoor.
I could be like Mike.
Glassdoor only matches you with qualified job candidates who have the skills and experience your small business needs to grow.
Can LeBron run through the play last night with his photographic memory of how he scored his 15th point?
I'm sure he will.
Where everybody was on the court or when Rondo was sitting on the bench?
Go to Glassdoor.com/hire. Find the right fit for your business.
We're running the pick at the top. Rondo was eating popcorn in the first row.
Doing a read, Moose.
Glassdoor.
Rondo's sitting there drinking.
Rondo just ordered a beer.
He's having a margarita. Look at Bron. You got the 13.
Pump this up, Pete.
Woo!
Don't plan this too long.
Like Mike. If I could be like Mike.
Just picture Moose singing this, running around.
Where were you when this was out? Great.
You in high school? Where were you? College? Where were you?
High school.
Skipping around the hallway singing.
The best is the Nike commercial with his home gym. Oh. What he does in the offseason. Oh, my God.
Dude, you know, I think I told you.
I can't get it.
Dude, I did meet Michael Jordan. Did I ever tell you this?
Yes, you told us. Yeah.
When he was with the Wizards in the front office. You know how big these guys are?
Yeah.
Like,
he's huge.
He's big.
He's a big man.
Nice guy. A nice guy, yeah. So
that's
yeah.
awesome. That's great. I never got a chance to meet him.
Yeah, he said to me, because we were all working out in DC, MCI Center in DC, when they were, is this still MCI Center?
No, it's Verizon.
Okay,
now.
That's what it was then. And,
I think.
And we were going in the weight room, a handful of wrestlers, we were using their weight room, and we had a show there that night, and literally, he was coming out of the weight room, I was coming in, and I introduced myself, he's like, how you doing? Talked for 2 seconds. He said, man, you guys are crazy what you do. Because you guys are just crazy. You just left and walked away.
That's awesome.
And,
that's great.
Yeah, I was like, that's Michael Jordan. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. You know?
That's pretty awesome. Yeah.
That is. Now, I will say, LeBron's a better executive than Michael could put together a team.
Oh. That's true. Yes. Thank you, Moose.
Yeah, that was funny.
We'll win that battle. We finally agree.
Funny. That was good.
Speaking of Jordan and the Bulls, they were down 10 to the Sixers in the fourth quarter last night. They took a 108-107 lead on Zach LaVine's hoop with 1.6 seconds left, and then things got crazy. Both teams thought the game was over when the Bulls knocked away Philly's next inbounds pass. They both even left the floor, but officials eventually used replay to determine that the clock started too soon on that inbounds, so they brought the teams back on the floor to redo the final play. The one problem was Chicago's Otto Porter Jr. was busy in the locker room.
In mid-stride, so I couldn't stop.
He was in mid-stride of a post-game drug test. Midstream, I think, might have been the more correct
term. So
by the time he got dressed again and got outside, they had replayed the final point. The Bulls survived it. They won 108-107. College Hoops, 10th-ranked LSU beat Florida last night in overtime, 79-78. Seton Hall took down number 16 Marquette, 73-64. And Major League Baseball changing some pregame protocol. Teams will now submit their lineups to the main office 15 minutes before first pitch. MLB will then release them instead of teams doing it on their own. This designed to protect inside info now that sports betting is legal in multiple states. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Take care, pal.
Let's hit the guest line right now. Is he with us? yes, I think he is right now.
Okay.
As we walk aboard, Jeff Goodman, analyst, basketball analyst for Stadium, joins us now. Hey, Jeff, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Jeff, what's up?
What's up, boys? How you doing?
What's doing up, well. Man? How about yourself, all right?
Everything's good. You know, we got conference tournaments, the big boys next week. Then, the next month. It's crazy, but good.
Yeah, nice, you know, and speaking of which, Jeff, you know, we've seen, you know, Zion not on this Duke team and where this team is, struggling the other night, find a way to win, but beating Wake at home, as Barrett was brilliant, and the last ditch runner or layup by Wake late rolled right off the rim. What do you hear here about Zion and where he is in his recovery from that sprained knee?
Nobody knows for sure, but everything I keep hearing points to the fact that he'll be back for the ACC tournament. But again, you just don't know. The longer this thing goes, the more you start to get concerned that somebody got into the ear of, you know, his parents, whoever's making the decision. I think ultimately it's going to be really hard for anybody to tell that kid, if he's healthy, you can't play. You know, he's just got too much enthusiasm for the game. You can tell he loves it. He loves his teammates, all that. So I think it's going to be hard to keep him out. It's not like Ben Simmons. When Ben Simmons came here from Australia, I remember talking to him, and he said, my goal was never to play in a national title or a Final Four. My goal was to play in the NBA. Zion Williamson's goal was to win a national title. He grew up watching college basketball in South Carolina, so it's different. So, again, I think if he's healthy enough, he plays. I just think they're being overly cautious, which they should be with him.
Yeah, I think they handle it right way also. Jeff, let me ask you, after Zion, who would you rate as the second-best NBA prospect?
Yeah, it's R.J. Barrett. It's got to be R.J. Barrett. I mean, really, you could make a case that he's the number one pro prospect, because the only thing he really doesn't have in his game is a consistent perimeter shot, and NBA people figure, you know what, that's the area you can improve the most when you work. This kid's got like a pro game and a pro mentality to him, and he's had it a long time. His dad, Rowan, told me a story years ago that they would put him around the dinner table, and he has a sister as well. And the parents, they'd have the sister hold a fork in his face, and they would do interviews with him. And
nice. That's
when he
cool.
was like 10, 11 years old, they'd walk into the airport, and they would have him. They would say, you get us to the terminal. You figure it out. We're not going to tell you. So they kind of prepped him all these years to kind of lead, to be mature. And his basketball game shows that, too. I mean, he can get to the basket whenever he wants. He's got great body control. He can make people better. He's 6'8". The only thing, again, he doesn't do great right now. He's shooting from the perimeter, and that's Duke's Achilles heel. And that's what you're seeing with Zion out is Zion just makes up for that flaw and other flaws because he impacts the game in so many ways. You know, offensively, you don't have to take as many threes because he can just go get it off the glass. And he's such a mismatch nightmare for anybody out there.
You know, Jeff, let's head out to Lawrence, Kansas, and how about the Jayhawks? I mean, it's remarkable. 14 straight years of winning the regular season Big 12 title. That's coming to an end this year. What about this Jayhawk team here for Bill Self and for Kansas?
I'm going to give a shameless plug to my podcast because I talked to Bill Self last night. And I was just going to tweet out the podcast that I did with Bill. And listen, he knew when Big
Wait, Jeff,
Joe
Jeff, Jeff, Joe tell goes, tell people where to find a podcast. Yeah. Plug it hard.
All right. I appreciate that. Good and Plenty podcast. You can find it wherever, you know, iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcast.
Same place you could listen to Taz and the Moose's podcast.
There
How about
go.
That?
There you go,
buddy.
Good job.
Yeah,
that's a good effort. So, you know, I asked him that. I said, like, you know, when did you think it was over? And he said, well, it's not over. It's not like we're done for the season. You know, we lost a streak. I knew it was going to end at some point. I knew it wasn't going to go on forever. And when Big Doke, Udoka Azubuike, when he went out for the year, I think then Bill knew it was going to be really tough because he said that the difference is Dedrick Lawson is a great passer as a big man that you could put on a high post. He couldn't do that once Doke went out for the year. So they went from having a guy down low who was the ultimate kind of throwback post player. And again, there's certain coaches that still utilize that if they have that, Roy Williams and Bill Self being the main two. And he went from having him to now having to rely so much on Dedrick Lawson and Lawson having to change kind of his game and who he was a little bit. So he felt like that was the difference. But yeah, they could still make a run to the second weekend, maybe the Elite Eight. I don't see any way they can win at all. They're too thin, inconsistent, and they have no size now.
You listen to Taz and the Moose, and our guest is Jeff Goodman, I should say, basketball analyst at Stadium. Jeff, let me ask you, Tony Bennett's Virginia team, offensively heading into the NCAA tournament, concerns, no concerns? Break it down for us if you don't mind.
Zero concerns. There's a different team than last year. Number one, remember, they didn't have DeAndre Hunter against UMBC in that 16-1 upset. Should they have lost without DeAndre Hunter? No, they should have beaten UMBC. We know that. But I think if they had him, we wouldn't be here talking about it ad nauseum. These guys have handled it so well in a sense of, like, the maturity. I remember seeing Kyle Guy, ACC Media Day before the season, and it's in Charlotte, and he just, the way he handled it, his maturity, and he said, he goes, they were staying at the same hotel where they were knocked out the year before, and he walks up to the front door, and the doorman says, welcome back. And Kyle just smiled, and he just started cracking up. He's like, yeah, welcome back. Sure. But again, they've handled it head on, and that's Tony Bennett. We got to remember, like, how dominant this team has been the last few years in the regular season. I mean, this is going to be their fourth ACC title, regular season title, in the last 6 years. His record is 10 games better than K's or Roy's in the regular season. I get they haven't been to a Final Four, but at some point, Tony Bennett's going to get one. I think it's going to be this year.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting, Jeff, when you look at, you know, if Zion's healthy, everyone believes, you know, Duke is the favorite to win the national championship. You mentioned about Virginia getting to the Final Four. There's a difference between getting the Final Four and winning a national title. How many teams, if you look at it, do you think, Jeff, or, you know, round number, how many teams do you think can get themselves to a Final Four, and how many teams do you think can win a national championship this year?
I think there's probably, like, 25 that could get to a Final Four.
Okay.
That could win four straight. right? Four straight, you got to expand it to you know, a bunch of teams. Six straight is the difference. Six straight is to me a group of maybe six, seven, eight teams at most. I mean, you got to go Virginia, Carolina, and Duke out of the ACC as long as Duke has Zion. If they don't have Zion, they can't win six straight. Kentucky, Tennessee out of the SEC, there's five. Michigan State, Michigan, there's seven. Who am I forgetting? Gonzaga, obviously. There's eight. There's your eight right there for me.
And I can understand that. And, you know, you look at it, of those eight, though, Jeff, what who do you think is the one that you have the least amount of confidence in?
For me, well, boy, the two teams out of the Big Ten, I just don't know if I see really having a good shot at winning six straight. They'd probably be down there with Tennessee. If I had to say the top four for me are Gonzaga, Virginia, Kentucky, Duke. Those are your top four, Carolina being fifth.
We're talking to Jeff Goodman, covers college hoops for The Athletic. You know, Jeff, you look at, you know, obviously Zion has dominated the landscape. We talked about R.J. Barrett. For those that have not watched Ja Morant this year play, who's expected to be a, you know, top three, top four pick come June in the NBA draft, how special of a guard do you think Morant is?
He's like the new age point guard. That's what he is. I mean, he's like Russell Westbrook light. You know, he's a freak athlete. He's got another gear to him. He's not a great perimeter shooter. He can make them. He's streaky. Plays hard as heck. Can defend if he wants to. So the areas he's got to work on are obviously taking care of the basketball. The same areas you would say about Russ, taking care of the basketball, being a better perimeter shooter, and defending consistently. But again, so athletic. Great, great kid. From everything that everybody's told me, like he's an elite kid, was under recruited, obviously, to end up at Murray State, but picked Murray State over South Carolina. South Carolina showed a ton of interest at the end when offered him a scholarship. He was supposed to visit South Carolina the week after he visited Murray State, and he says, "You know what? This reminds me of home. I'm going to Murray State."
Good for him. And, exactly.
Yeah. Hopefully they get to the NCAA tournament. I mean, right now they're on the wrong side of the bubble, guys.
Yeah.
They probably need to win the Ohio Valley Conference tournament to get in, or need some help.
Mm. Hey, so Jeff, let me ask you this. So let's just pretend. Right, yeah, there's a slim chance, as we know, I'm being sarcastic, that Luke Walton could be unfortunately out of a job with the Lakers.
Do you see him?
Yeah, it's done. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm sarcastic.
Yeah.
Do you think he ends up being a new UCLA head coach?
Well, I think, listen, I talked to one person close to him who said he didn't think he wanted, Luke ultimately wants to be in college. So I could see Luke taking a year off. He had a brief stint during the lockout as an assistant coach at Memphis under Josh Pazner years ago. So he's seen it a little bit. He knows it. I think it could be a battle, though, if he wants to get in college between UCLA and Arizona. If Arizona makes a move on Sean Miller, remember, Luke went to Arizona.
Yep.
Obviously, his dad is arguably, you know, one of the greatest players ever at UCLA. Where I went to Arizona. Where would you rather live? You'd rather live in L.A. to me than Tucson. So
Tucson's pretty nice, though. I've been to Tucson. Tucson's nice.
Is. Listen, it is. No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. But he's used to L.A. too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I think he could have his pick there if Arizona does something with Sean Miller. And that's really right now questionable. The next FBI trials are in late April. So after the Final Four is over, about 2 weeks later, the trials will start. And we don't know what's going to come out audio-wise. I spoke to one of the lawyers of Christian Dawkins, one of the defendants, and he said, listen, we're going to play some audio files of my client talking to some of these head coaches, and it's going to be flammable stuff.
Wow. And you know what? And Jeff, you know, we all love college hoops, but I mean, this story and that trial is going to – I know it starts after the tournament, but still, you know, there is that hangover dealing with the – you know, going into this with that trial and that investigation hanging over college hoops.
No doubt. No doubt. And, again, the last one kind of came and went, and there weren't really too many big names that kind of got embroiled in it because the judge didn't allow it. We'll see what happens in this one. We just don't know.
Jeff Goodman covers college hoops for The Athletic. Jeff, we'll close out here. Taz asked you about UCLA, you know, and I remember a couple of months ago, you know, Vital was screaming on Twitter or tweeting out on Twitter about, you know, Patino getting an opportunity to coach once again in college hoops. You know, we know he's over in Greece and his team won in that Greek league. You know, do you think with everything and how it all ended in Louisville and all the stories coming out of that program, do you think Patino's done on the college level?
No, I think he coaches again.
You do?
I think he coaches again. Yeah, I think the only issue is right now, I think he'd be hired today if the NCAA has finished its investigation into Louisville and he was in the clear. That's the only thing I think we're waiting for big boy schools to go after him. I still think there'll be schools that will go after him this year because it's quieted down a lot. UNLV, if they make a move, wouldn't shock me. There's a lot of people there, a lot of money people that want them to hire Rick Pitino. So the question is, again, does your administration go for it? If they call the NCAA and the NCAA says, well, we're not done with our investigation into Louisville, do they take that risk? Or do they have to wait it out until that whole thing is done and, again, Rick Pitino is in the clear?
Jeff Goodman covers college hoops for The Athletic. Hey, Jeff, Stadium, I should say. Jeff, good luck with the podcast. We'll be listening to that self-interview. We appreciate it. And thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Always great. Always great to chat with Jeff and knows college basketball.
Oh, God. Yeah, absolutely.
Check him out on the Stadium and his podcast as well. And gave us a good 10, 12 minutes there. Really appreciate it. We come back. We've got the undercard for you. It's Taz and the Moose on a Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
We're closing in on college basketball's conference championships and postseason action. Keep it here for complete coverage on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. And the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
I'll tell you this, I went out to the men's room there and come back during the break.
Good, a little bathroom chatter.
Yeah, well, I had a slight walkthrough interaction with our anchor, update gentleman. They call him Bogus, AB, Andrew Bogus. I wouldn't hold the door open for him because I went through the door first. I let the door close, and I didn't even really acknowledge him.
Wow.
That's, yeah. So,
hey, how you doing? Happy Thursday.
Then got to go into the restroom, and, well, Zach was in there. And it was uncomfortable because Zach wanted
to. Well, then you paid the price.
He wanted
to. For your rudeness.
Zach wanted
to talk about everything.
He wanted to have a full conversation.
Right.
Evens out.
And then who was in there? Pete the Bobby.
You guys playing that Dukes of Hazzard thing I worked on?
Khalil Mack.
Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone. Here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all right now.
It's hot.
At geico.com.
John D. Flippo.
It's hot. It's hot for me. I can't really interact well with these people outside, even Mike and Pete. Like, I can't interact with them outside the show, except you, Moose. I can interact with you.
That's not true. You come in here every break and interact.
Well, it's part of the show, even though it's a break. Once we get in the newsroom, it's awkward.
Ouch.
Yeah.
But it's non-show topics.
That's true.
It's like a lot of times about your career or...
Yeah, Pete.
Your career.
What else?
Yeah, your career, right.
Got a Summer Slam.
Pete is shining your rear end. I mean, that's it.
That's only Thursday.
To a nice sheen.
I'm just saying, it's tough for me to talk
to certain people.
Certain people. Right. I can't. It's awkward. Gio, who does the morning over there on the local show, he used to do the show here. He, Greg Giannotti, we used to say hello to each other in the morning. That's gone now.
Hello to Greg every morning.
Well, everybody loves you. We know that. But there's not even like, and Pete, you've been talking to me a lot in the morning before the show, and now he sees that. These other people, you're getting what we call the bad rub. You're too friendly with me. These other people are not.
No, that's not true. They just know. No, they're happy. Pete's taking the oxygen out of the room about wrestling.
Yeah. Well. Come on. It's not. It's not about that. It's
public service.
It's not about that.
Public service.
He's doing a public service.
Let's go. Something like that.
Taz. Taz and the Moose present The Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right. What do you got, Mikey?
Well, we might have an NFL and AAF connection. Oh. The NFL would loan practice squad players and number three QBs to the AAF so they could get reps. You like this sort of minor league football idea?
I think it's good.
I do too. I like it.
There's the hook.
I like it.
You are
a
mark.
It makes sense for the NFL.
Why? You want your players to continue to develop. The more football they can play, the better.
It's great. It's like watching minor league baseball on TV. I'll watch the Cape Cod League in a heartbeat. No problem.
Now, if you're a practice squad player, you're playing football year-round. How's that going to work for your body?
You got a two-year career. Done. Right. Thanks for coming. You'll be loading the dock somewhere.
Move on. Let's get the next practice squad player in.
That's it. That's true. Next.
Ooh. Oh.
When the Bears lost to the Eagles, we had the double doink, and Cody Parkey was out.
Yeah.
The Bears now have a new kicker, and his name is Chris Blewett.
Yes.
They make the right choice.
He played for Pitt, I think, right? I think that's
Taylor's
right.
Taylor Jones.
Okay. Listen, the Blewett thing. There was enough. Why do I feel like I know of another? I said this to Pete, another kicker.
I don't know any other kicker. I know a guy named Blewett that works in thoroughbred racing.
His dad's Ted, and his wife and his mom's Kathy Blewett.
I know a guy
Ted
in college,
Blewett?
Bobby Blewett.
Ted and Kathy.
We got it. That was the payoff.
Really? I thought there was an actual thing. I knew Taz was working.
I know him too well.
He's working around.
He's working to get to the punchline. He worked it. He got to.
You got me on that.
I wonder, what was it? Cody Parkey, right? Is he going to be on the Today Show talking about his kick?
That was him. Was that?
Yes.
That was
remember? Right? Nagy was ticked off.
Yeah, he should be.
And then they got rid of him.
He became a TV star.
His career's over.
Yeah.
Mr. Rip Jones, remember? He's the pictures of him and his wife on the beach. He's got like a six pack.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember that?
Yeah, it must be nice to be a kicker.
Wife,
in the NFL.
Very attractive.
Just trained, ripped. You got the beautiful wife. You're on the beach.
But now you're out of a job.
And now you're jobless. You got to be able to deal with the
and
pressure.
You missed a kick. Right. And not only did he hit the upright, he hit the crossbar.
Crossbar.
The
city.
Double doink.
Yeah, double doink, doink, doink.
All right, next.
Well, those Boston Celtics are at it again. Winners last night against the Kings. Winners by two because of a Gordon Hayward runner on the baseline. Have the Celtics turned a corner?
A little bit on the road in Sacramento the other day on the road and got, out in Golden State. Two Cali wins across the country city. Yeah, that's
how
big.
About no Kyrie Irving?
Kyrie Irving. They played better without him. They won like seven in a row without
him. Well, they're 10-2 on the season without him. Winners,
seven in a row,
seven in a row.
There you go.
Correct. I was going to say that. Winners of seven straight without Kyrie Irving. Dealt with a... I think a thigh contusion last night is why Irving was out.
He's got a bump on his leg.
And it's interesting. If you're a betting man, that spread opened up Kings minus one, quickly moved to Celtics laying 1.5 to 2, went up to 3, settled in at 2.5-2. They win by a bucket.
But only if you're a betting man, you would know that. Just coincidentally, you happen to say that in full throttle.
Right.
Thanks very much.
No, I actually knew that, too, because there's a friend of mine, and I've been giving him lines, and I've been doing so well for him. He's reopening his account, and I'm helping him.
Does he work here?
No, he works at a gym.
Oh really?
So you've been? Can you feed us a little bit?
He's a bookie, this guy.
Yeah, I can. It's been a lot of fun.
I want the lines for tonight.
Wow. No, I don't have them.
I want you to work on that.
You got plenty of time.
I expect a text.
Yeah, just put your
foot. After you post the podcast, we want winners, Mike. Winners.
Yeah, show up tomorrow healthy, Mike. I get nervous when you get
drink some water. Make sure to take those meds.
Get some sleep too. Get a haircut while you're at it. Shave. Otherwise, you look great.
Pete, great job.
Thank you.
Mike, fantastic.
Mike.
Bogus, Mr. LeBron James, great work as well. Jeff Goodman for joining us from the stadium. Taz, have a great Thursday,
job,
everybody.
Right, adios.
Pleasure. Peace, we out.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.